One of the things I've wanted to do is certainly maintain our focus on water, as that's really the chief concern. But I think recreation has an interesting part to play in that conversation. We know that there are difficult times ahead, certainly with the way that our climate is working now, and things are hotter and drier. And this is maybe a conversation just for us in the Valley to better understand what options might exist. How might tourism and recreation play perhaps a slightly larger role in what we're currently doing? We want to be able to maintain the unique character of the Valley. We don't want to become like the Front Range so busy with so much of the recreation pressure that happens there. But are there ways that others can diversify perhaps operations and bring extra money in while still preserving the culture here? So it'll be an interesting conversation. We'll see kind of where it goes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 80, and we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, so let me be sure to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. Everybody in this studio has some green on, so we're all in good shape. This is Marty Jones, the host for the podcast. Owen Woods is our producer and very capable editor. Our guest today is going to be Dr. Paul Formasano from the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center at Adams State University. Before we begin, though, I'd just like to acknowledge Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the Valley's birds. And the birds are definitely coming back now. Here it is, mid-March. Seems like it's almost summertime, even though spring is not officially here yet. So, Dr. Paul Formasano is the director of the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center here in Alamosa at Adams State University. Welcome, Paul, and thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
So please tell us a little bit about yourself, what you did before you came to the Salazar Center, and a little bit about what you've been doing since your arrival.
Sure. Well, it's a bit of a kind of a convoluted story in terms of how I got here, but I grew up in the Denver area and had always been interested in outdoor things and water, and college took me out of state. I did my undergraduate in Utah, and then master's work in Nevada, and then my PhD down in Albuquerque. So my background is actually in English. I was a professor in South Dakota for 12 years prior to coming here. And during that time, I was teaching classes in American literature, Western American literature, environmental literature, and doing research on rivers. I was always, again, interested in water and had some experiences with different water education groups when I was an undergrad. And so I was trying to keep that alive while doing perhaps more traditional English things. Doors kind of opened and things led me to eventually coming here and directing the Salazar Center.
And we're very glad that you're here. So when did you first get to, or when did you start as the director?
About a year and a half ago. Yeah, July of 2024. So I still feel very much like a outsider in some ways, a new person here in the Valley. But I did grow up coming here for vacations to the sand dunes and hiking. And so it wasn't a totally unfamiliar place, but it's been a great year and a half.
Great. And in terms of the Salazar Center, you really hit the ground running.
Trying to.
Oh, yeah. From the get-go.
Yeah. Rio de la Vista had done a phenomenal job in getting the center to where it is now. And she was a tremendous help in kind of that transition time. I've just really tried to get out in the community as much as I can, get to know different organizations, be present at the Basin Roundtable, for example, and then try and work with K-12, obviously the many different groups at Adams State and other water groups throughout the state of Colorado. So I've been learning a lot, And there's a lot to learn, but it's been a really fun ride so far.
Yeah, great. And speaking of riding, I know that Paul is a bicyclist. He's a member of the City of Alamosa Bicycle Advisory Group and has been on some projects and is an avid bicyclist. So that's near and dear to my heart as well.
Right,
so,
yeah, a lot to explore out here.
So tell us about some of the past year. What were some of the highlights from the past year? And then we'll get into this really exciting upcoming event.
Sure. Well, I think one of the big things that I've been focusing on, again, is some of that outreach and trying to connect with different groups to let people know about the Salazar Center. There are a lot of people here in the Valley that don't know what it is. They may have heard of it. They certainly know the Salazar name. But they're not necessarily familiar with what we do. And so I've been trying to go to a lot of different meetings, again, get myself out there, and then working on a lot of fundraising projects. So some of the big things that I'm pretty excited about are some recent grants that we've received from the Colorado Water Conservation Board. Those will help with a number of initiatives at Adams State and then within the community. So, for example, we got money to support our curriculum and curriculum development. Right now we have a water studies minor, and some of those classes, the water 101 and 201, have been pretty popular, and you've come in to lecture and about that. So
and you've taken the class too.
That's right. Yeah. So that's a popular one among our community members, and we're trying to build that with our students. And then develop some other credentials, certificates, and other things that can help students and then professionals eventually get more training with water. I'm working on getting students more out in the community. There's a tremendous opportunity for workforce development within the water sector. And so trying to find partnerships with different organizations for internships, jobs, shadowing, et cetera. And so those are some of the things that I'm doing primarily with students. But then another thing that we've just kind of kicked off the ground, it's very much in its early phases, but it's this Rio Grande collection. Just in talking with so many different water leaders here in the Valley, I've learned just how much history there is on this particular topic and what a unique story that the Valley has to tell within the broader picture of Colorado water development. And so my hope is to develop something that we have at the Nielsen Library at Adams State, a resource and archive, essentially, of materials, both hard copy and then digital, eventually, that people can access. I'm hoping to do oral histories with water leaders and others. So we have some funding to do some of those kinds of things to just really capture the uniqueness of this particular place.
That's great. And that will be an ongoing project.
Yeah, I mean, that's, in some ways, it's a life's work, right? That could take many, many, many years to get going. But we have had some, again, preliminary money. We have some bookshelves now. We've been buying books, and we'll be looking to collect materials that we can digitize and then make available to the public. So,
do you know what the location in the library will be for that collection?
For right now, it's on the second floor. So if you just head up the main staircase and hang a left and go to the end, there's a... It's kind of a room that's separated from the regular bookshelves, and there's some desks in there. We have the bookshelves and also a TV. So I'm hoping that eventually we'll have opportunities to have some small gatherings in there, presentations, et cetera, and it'll be a place for the public to come and check out books and or research some of the water records that are here in the area.
Exciting. So let's switch gears to talk about the upcoming State of the Basin Symposium. That's coming up on March 28th. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so this is our big annual event, and it's happening Saturday, March 28th. We'll be starting at 8 a.m. and wrapping up about 5 p.m. that day. This is a free event, so everybody's welcome to come. And we've got a great selection of speakers that will be talking on a number of different topics throughout the day. So as we've done in years past, we typically have somebody from Division of Water Resources come and give us an update on the state of the river and some of the compact projections for this year.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to be a real happy one, I'm afraid.
No, I think everybody can pretty much look outside and see where things are. But Craig Cotton, our Division III engineer, will be giving an overview there. And I think in terms of also talking about the compact, the Rio Grande Compact, and what we owe to downstate or downriver states, that'll be something that will be useful for people to hear. And then we'll get more information about some of our reservoir operations as well, so people can maybe plan ahead if they're thinking of coming out to fish or do other things, that they might better understand how those are going to be operated, and of course how that will impact our agricultural community as well. Some of the other topics we have that day are going to be about the Closed Basin Project. That'll be a great opportunity to help get some more information as to what that is and why we have that. This year being the 150th celebration of the state of Colorado, we're trying to bring a little bit of a historical perspective on some of these things. So we're not going too far back in the past, but at least over the last 20 years, we're going to talk about how things have progressed since the drought really kicked in about 2002. So a lot of our presenters will be addressing that. We'll have information about the history of the sub-districts and how those were formed. And then lunch is going to be fun. We're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be running a drought resiliency challenge. So it's a game, but more of a serious game with the purpose of learning some things and educating ourselves about what life is like living with drought and how managers have to balance a lot of different needs. So Pat McDermott, who is a staff engineer at Water Resources, will be our MC for that. And that should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Pat will do a great job on that.
Yeah, when we wanted to put that together, he popped into my mind for that. That'll be great. And then we're going to talk a little bit about river restoration and some of the collaboration that's happening in recent projects related to the Alamosa Riverfront Project and some things that private landowners have been doing. And then also have a conversation about recreation here in the valley and its role as one of the economic generators here. So a variety of great panels, and then we'll wrap up the event with our keynote address, which will be by Colorado journalist Ben Goldfarb. And he's probably best known for his book about beaver restoration.
Eager
is the name of it. That's right. All about beavers and their kind of history of how they almost went extinct in North America and now how they're in many ways kind of the tool that many restoration ecologists are using to improve river systems.
You know, there have been science fair projects in the last 5 or 6 years about beaver dam analogs, BDAs. So I think folks are finally starting to come around to the idea that beaver are not bad for the ecosystem. They're actually very good, especially in times like we're having right now with limited water.
Yeah, I've been reading Ben's book. It's been really enlightening. And I think one of the things that, you know, people in many cases understand here in the Valley is that, you know, beaver can be controversial. Certainly they're not great at your head gate and they can cause a lot of challenges there. But in many cases, they can be a real asset in terms of restoring compromised ecosystems. And one of the neat things that I've learned from some of the beaver restoration work that's been happening is just how they can play a role in mitigating wildfire impacts. So because they're able to spread the water out so far across the landscape, you kind of get these green oases in areas that are burned. So that's certainly for our basin something to think about.
Right. You know, from attending these in the past, I do not recall, of course, it could be my faulty memory, which gets faultier every day. But I do not recall a session on recreation as being a part of the symposium in the past. Is that new or am I just remembering incorrectly?
Based on my knowledge and of looking at past symposia, I think it is a new perspective. One of the things I've wanted to do is certainly maintain our focus on water, as that's really the chief concern. But I think recreation has an interesting part to play in that conversation. We know that there are difficult times ahead, certainly with the way that our climate is working now and things are hotter and drier. And this is maybe a conversation just for us in the Valley to better understand what options might exist? How might tourism and recreation play perhaps a slightly larger role in what we're currently doing? We want to be able to maintain the unique character of the valley. We don't want to become like the Front Range, so busy with so much of the recreation pressure that happens there. But are there ways that others can diversify perhaps operations and bring extra money in while still preserving the culture here? So it'll be an interesting conversation. We'll see kind of where it goes.
Certainly. And water-based recreation is certainly important in the San Luis Valley between rafting on the Rio Grande and fishing opportunities in the rivers and the lakes.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, what we have in the Alamos area looks pretty different on the river as it does from Del Norte and farther upstream, but there are certainly opportunities to get out on the water, and I think it's a great place for families and others who may be very new to water-based recreation to get out on a place that's pretty safe and calm and just have a good time.
Right, right. So speaking of recreation, Paul, how do you recreate in the outdoors? What are your favorite pastimes?
Yeah, I love to ski. That's something I grew up doing. Unfortunately, it's become much too expensive in many ways, but I do love to get out, ski a little bit with my family, backcountry ski. Love to mountain bike, hike, run. So if I can get outdoors, I'm pretty much, yeah. Happy.
So, Paul, speaking of the State of the Basin Symposium, I know it's free for the public to attend, but is there a requirement for registration?
Registration is encouraged. That way we can just kind of plan on numbers. We do provide breakfast and lunch, and we'll have some afternoon snacks before the keynote as well. So folks can register by going to the Salazar Center homepage, where they can look on Facebook. We've got information posted there and on Instagram to find the links. And new this year will be Spanish translation. We're really trying to open this up to more members of the community.
Excellent. So go to the Adams State website, and there will be a link for the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center, and click on register. Go ahead and do that now so that everybody can have an accurate head count. We've been speaking with Paul Formasano, the director of the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center here at Adams State University in Alamosa. Paul, any final thoughts before we end the interview?
I'm just really glad to have had the opportunity to be here and share some things that the Salazar Center is doing. There's a lot of, I think, interest in the community on campus and looking forward to bringing more programming to the Valley.
Paul, if folks want to get in touch with you to get further information about the center or the symposium, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, they can email me directly at pformasano. Formisano at adams.edu, or call me in my office at 719-587-7111.
Great. We'll be right back after we take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. You're listening to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast.
Looking for the freshest food in the valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit alamosacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the valley.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. Let's take a look at some outdoor conditions. It's official. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, confirmed that the 2025-2026 winter season was one of the hottest on record, and for some of the San Luis Valley counties, the hottest winter on record. According to NOAA, Alamosa County, Canoas County, and Rio Grande County had their hottest winter on record. During the winter, Alamosa County saw an average temperature of 29.9 degrees Fahrenheit, 8.8 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the average of 21.1 degrees Fahrenheit, making it the warmest in the 131-year record. Canoes County had an average temperature of 28 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 7.4 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the average. And Rio Grande County had an average winter temperature of 27.4 degrees Fahrenheit, 8.1 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the average. According to NOAA's analysis, the contiguous United States average temperature for the meteorological winter, which is December to February, was 37.1 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's 4.9 degrees Fahrenheit above the 20th century average, ranking as the second warmest winter in the 131-year record. Nine states recorded their hottest winter on record, Colorado included. February precipitation for the lower 48 was 1.37 inches, 0.76 inches below the 20th century average, the driest since 2002. The states received an average of 4.95 inches of precipitation during the winter, which is 1.84 inches below the 20th century average, ranking as the fifth driest winter in the 131-year record. According to the March 3rd U.S. Drought Monitor report, about 54.9% of the contiguous United States was in drought, an increase of about 10.4% from the beginning of February. Drought persisted across much of the Rockies and the Eastern Seaboard and expanded or intensified across portions of the Northern Rockies, Plains, Mississippi Valley, South, and Southeast. Significant wildland fire potential is above average across a wide region, including the Southern Plains, the Gulf Coast, and the Southeast, extending northward into Virginia. Much of eastern Colorado is in this zone for March. Some fire experts have expressed their anxieties over the upcoming summer and the potential for fires. And currently, as we are recording this, the Morrill Fire in Nebraska between Ogallala and Scott's Bluff is well over 500,000 acres and very little containment at this time. There's another fire up in the Black Hills of South Dakota near Custer and Custer State Park as well. So fire experts, if they're anxious, they have good reason to be anxious because it's only March and we're already getting big fires in the West. Now for some other news. 800 fingerling-sized trout were released downstream last Thursday at Del Norte's Town Park as part of a classroom education initiative called Trout in the Classroom. For weeks, six San Luis Valley classrooms operating eight fish tanks have been raising trout from eggs, learning everything from ethics to physics, chemistry, and biology. Those classrooms got to release their trout into the Rio Grande during a community event led by the San Luis Valley chapter of Trout Unlimited. Alamosa Citizen was there to capture the baby trout graduation. You can read more about the fish release and see some excellent photos from Owen on alamosacitizen.com. Gray wolf 2310 was found dead on March 11th. This breeding female wolf was the maternal member or mother of the King Mountain Pack. Colorado Parks and Wildlife received a mortality signal in northwest Colorado. CPW is leading the mortality investigation in consultation with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. A final determination of the cause of death will not be made until the investigation is completed, including the necropsy, a foundational component of the overall investigation process. No additional details were released by CPW. This wolf death now marks the 14th death since reintroduction began in 2023 and the third this year. The last death occurred in January when CPW was attempting to capture a breeding male from the King Mountain Pack. That wolf died from complications related to the capture. An early start to the irrigation season in the San Luis Valley is coinciding with the arrival of spring's first heat wave. Craig Cotton, Division 3 engineer for Colorado Division of Water Resources, announced a staged approach to opening the water year for producers in the upper Rio Grande Basin. The water season will begin on March 16th for surface and groundwater irrigators in the Caneos River area. That's Water District 22. The Culebra Creek area, that's Water District 24. The Trinchera Creek area, that's Water District 35, and the Lajara Creek area. The irrigation season will begin on March 23rd for all surface and groundwater irrigation structures in the Rio Grande area, that is Water District 20. According to Cotton, I decided to start the irrigation season earlier than the presumptive April 1 date for many valley areas due to the very warm, dry spring and the low current snowpack. We are already seeing an increase in stream flows due to the warmer weather, and it is beneficial for water rights holders to be able to use this water while it is available, Cotton said in an email exchange with Alamosa Citizen. This coming week of March 16th could see record-setting temperatures to the official start of spring. The forecast calls for midweek daytime highs in the low to mid-70s. March has seen 21 of its 31 days establish new record-high temperatures since 2004, a heating trend that accentuates the warming winters and spring months. You can read more about this decision on alamosacitizen.com. The Alamosa City Council will take up adopting a wildfire resilience code during Wednesday's meeting this week. The codes will affect local municipal buildings. A work session was held last week. The state is requiring cities to adopt its 2025 Wildlife Resiliency Code by April 1st. Alamosa is trying to figure out how the codes apply to new construction and exterior renovations of properties and whether an expanded part of the city limits is subject to the wildfire code. In order to meet the state-mandated requirement of having the wildfire code adopted by April, the City Council will vote on the item at their regularly scheduled meetings on March 18th for first reading and April 1st for second reading. Both meetings will allow time for public comment. And now a look at some upcoming outdoor events. The last topic in the Sippin' Science Water Series is Friday, March 27th, where you can learn about the importance of wetlands here in the San Luis Valley at Del Norte's Trade and Post, located at 578 Grande Avenue. That's Main Street in Del Norte. Sippin' Science in the SLV is a year-long series designed to help the community learn about the natural systems that define the San Luis Valley. Each session focused on a different environmental topic that directly affects life here in the valley. Enjoy a drink and learn more about these natural resources, the locals who manage the resources, and how to get involved in our community. The mission, in collaboration with Trade and Post and the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, Sippin' Science in the SLV is a series that brings science, stewardship, and connection together in a fun setting. Each quarter follows a new theme inspired by the four elements: water, air, fire, and earth, and features local experts sharing the science and stories behind the natural resources that shape life in the San Luis Valley. Events are donation-based and open to all. You can RSVP at sipandscience.eventbrite.com. As we were talking about earlier in the podcast, The Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium is Saturday, March 28th at the Adams State University campus. The symposium's keynote speaker is Colorado-based journalist Ben Goldfarb, whose work has appeared in national publications including The New York Times, The New Yorker, Smithsonian Magazine, The Atlantic, The Washington Post, Orion Magazine, and National Geographic. His books include Eager, The Surprising Secret Life of Beavers and Why They Matter, published in 2018, and Crossings, How Road Ecology is Shaping Our Planet, published in 2023. It is free to register to attend. You can get registration information in the Outdoor Report and also at the Adams State University website. Mountain Film on Tour is coming up Thursday, April 16th at the Monta Vista Church Project. Stay tuned for more details. Mountain Film on Tour is a touring film festival that makes stops all over the world, highlighting documentary films showing the strength and depth of the indomitable human spirit. We'll be talking with the organizers of Mountain Film on the next episode of the Creative Citizen podcast. Keep your eyes and ears out for that episode when it premieres later in March. And a new event for the Valley, the Colorado E-Bike Shop for Colorado's 150/250 celebration is doing a series of bike rides in Colorado called Charge Through Colorado. The San Luis Valley for the Dunes and Peaks Pedal, a one-of-a-kind e-bike adventure that showcases the wide-open beauty and bold landscape surrounding Alamosa, is Saturday, May 2nd, starting at 8 a.m. The ride will roll out from Cole Park in Alamosa at 8:30 a.m., heading into a morning filled with big skies, mountain views, and unforgettable scenery. This fully supported ride takes you across the valley floor with stunning views of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, glimpses of the great sand dunes, and the quiet, peaceful roads that make this part of Colorado so special. Dunes and Peaks Pedal is designed to be approachable and fun, whether you're an experienced rider or simply looking for a new way to explore. With the help of e-bikes, the landscape opens up to everyone, making the miles enjoyable and the views even sweeter. Expect a relaxed, community-focused atmosphere, ride support along the route, and plenty of moments to take it all in. This isn't a race, it's a celebration of rural Colorado, fresh air, and experiencing the outdoors together. Come ride the valley, feel the space, and discover why Alamosa is one of Colorado's hidden gems. To register, visit the website for the ColoradoEBikeShop.com and look for the tab Charge Through Colorado to get registration information. And if you like bicycling, there's another ride scheduled for the Valley on July 25th. It will be the annual Habitat for Humanity Bike to Build fundraiser bike ride. July 25th, we're going to have distances of 56 miles and about 26 miles supporting Habitat. It will be a supported ride. There will be rest stops and a lunch is provided at the end. You can register for that ride by visiting the San Luis Valley Habitat for Humanity. Click on the Bike to Build tab to get more information. The 6th Annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio Triathlon is happening June 6th during Alamosa's new Rio Fest weekend. Combining all the fun of the Summerfest on the Rio and the Rio Trio, the weekend will be packed with community events all under the summer sun, including live music, craft vendors, food, beer, and an outdoor expo. The Rio Trio is an adventure-style triathlon race within the city of Alamosa. This fully chip-timed race will feature a 5K-plus run, a 2.75-mile paddle on the Rio Grande, and an 8-mile trail-slash-gravel-slash-road bike ride. Participants will be given the option of doing all three legs of the race solo or as part of a three-person relay team. Bring your own boat or rent a kayak or stand-up paddleboard. An outdoor awards ceremony and lunch will be served by local thin food vendors following the race. And that brings us to this... And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Owen Woods and published by AlamosaCitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, send an email to info@AlamosaCitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Spring starts this Friday, Owen, although it has felt like spring all winter.
Yeah, for the past 2 months at least.
And temperatures are warm. That means that the winds may start showing up, but take advantage of these warm weathers, get outside, and enjoy the out of doors. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great time outside.